Kevin sent me a while back. Buck, good morning to you, sir. How you doing today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Josh up in London, Ohio, tweeted something a couple of minutes ago. It's from the past. It's back in the Woody Hayes days, and he's beating Michigan. Here's the story. He's beating Michigan really bad one day, and it's towards the end of the game. He's up 30, and he goes for two. In the post game, one of the reporters asked him, "Why'd you go for two there?" And he said, "Because I couldn't go for three." Here's my question. No, true story, Buck. Here's my question to you. Either as an offense up big late or another team doing that to you, do you have any memories of that, college or pro?
I can't remember. We got beat pretty bad by Oklahoma my freshman year, but they didn't. I don't remember them pouring it on. It was just Jamel Holloway killing us, and then they, you know, even with their backups, we couldn't get on the right track in that game. I never remember anybody. Because for the most part, in high school we were pretty good, so nobody ever got up on us and you know tried to run the, you know, do that to us. So we never just had one of those games where we lost like that. So I don't remember that. I think we would have been pissed. And I've had a few coaches that I know were in that position. They probably would have tried to do that to teams. So, yeah, that would have been interesting if you played that team the next year.
You know, it'd be interesting to go down through the college coaches and point out who would do this and who wouldn't. Harbaugh do that to you now. Harbaugh, if Harbaugh's up on you 45-0 and he's driving, he's not slowing down.
No, all gas, no brakes. I think, you know, that was what was interesting about Oklahoma, because that's when they had Barry Switzer.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you know, he didn't. But I think Barry's disdain was more for Nebraska and some of the other folks in the Big Eight at the time. You know what I mean? I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can think of a few coaches that would do that and not think twice about it. Jim being one of them.
No question. And you played with him up at Indy.
Yeah.
Nick Saban won't do that to you. He may beat you bad, but he's not gonna embarrass you the last minute of the game. I don't think that's in his. Spurrier would,
yeah.
Now. Spurrier will score on you.
But let's think about Nick though. You just said that. Would he potentially do it if A&M? You know, if they're able to get up on A&M and just kind of get it going, and that little disdain that he has for Jimbo, or you think he'd still play the nice guy?
I mean, if they're up big anyways, I don't think he would purposely rub it in.
Yeah. Nick wants to beat you, but I don't see that. He's never done it to this point, right? That we can remember. You know, I don't remember, and maybe your listeners may say, "Oh, well, he did it here," but I don't ever remember another coach saying, you know, Nick Saban ran the score up on us.
Buck, you're from Texas. He's from Houston, played at UCLA. Word out a few days ago was that Quinn Ewers is not the starting quarterback, at least for the opener for Texas. Did that surprise you?
I was kind of thinking that could happen only because they were playing Alabama, and had he really got his footing? And it's been funny. Sark has said, hey, this is going to be a quarterback competition. There's no guarantee that Quinn is going to come in and start. I thought that was just lip service, but the more you kind of read and hear out of the camp, that might be the case. Maybe he's not quite ready, and they don't want to throw him to the wolves that soon. And, you know, and I think the other thing is if Quinn isn't and Hudson Card is a starter, I think Hudson's going to try his best to hold on to that job, right? You know,
yeah.
So I'm interested to see if there's a situation where I can remember Homer Smith would do this when he was trying to make a quarterback decision. He would let quarterbacks in the first quarter, maybe the first half, go 1-1, you know, and kind of rotate some. He had a system each time, and it was a little bit different. And even when Troy was coming in initially, they were saying he wasn't going to start right away, and we all knew Troy was going to start. But, yeah, you know, they had to make it sound like there was a quarterback competition. I think this might be a little bit different only because you've got a guy that has some experience, and then you got Quinn Ewers, who has not played really any significant football. and your first game of the year is against a team that you know has a defense that might be one of the best defenses in the last 10 years or so. So I think that's one of the reasons why. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I mean, if he's going to be your guy, you would think he could go in and win that job. But that's an interesting one. And that's what the first part of the season is always interesting to me, because we talked about all the hypotheticals, and then we get to actually see it play out. And we'll actually get to see what it looks like and what he looks like. And some of the things that what you've heard is, hey, he's good, but he's not quite there yet.
Yeah, they open with, Louisiana Monroe, and immediately they play Alabama after that. And that's where you get your true test. That's where you find out. I just happened to have it on the SEC Network on Sunday, and the Arkansas-Texas replay from a year ago was on there, and Arkansas bullied them all day long.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing with Texas, too, you think about the injuries they just had, right? Isaiah Nair, and then the offensive lineman, Junior, I don't want to butcher his name, Anguilla, or however you say his name. But, you know, they already were struggling up front with, you know, you got a senior offensive lineman that's out with the ACL, and then you've got a receiver who made plays for him as well, who's out. So, and they also suffered some other injuries, which is not a good thing when you're heading into the season. So,
Charles Arbuckle with us each and every Tuesday talking football. You got the North Carolina Appy State game here just around the corner.
I do. I'm excited about that one. That was one of the games, you know. So I was looking at North Carolina's schedule after going up to see them in spring ball. And, you know, I talked to Mac about that. It's interesting. They don't go to, you know, Boone often. But, you know that App State team is actually pretty good. And they're in contention for a Sun Belt Conference title. And I think the big thing is they've got some guys coming back. The problem for North Carolina is they've got to make sure they can run the football. So if it's Drake May or Jacoby Criswell, whoever the starter is at quarterback, doesn't have to do all the quarterback runs like Sam Howell. They've already lost British Brooks. And that's what I always try to see leading into the game. You know, you can go back and watch film, but you're also looking to see, hey, who is going to be available? Now, North Carolina has some really young running backs that they're excited about, but they lost their senior guy that they were really banking on, and the one they brought to the ACC kickoff. Josh Downs is a receiver who's going to make plays for them. They've got some guys on the outside. But as much as I'm looking at their offense, their defense has to play better. And that's what Gene Chizik is saying. We've got to be better up front, especially when you have a team that has a Chase Bryce on the other side that's playing a lot better football than he did in his last few stops for App State. And they have a three-headed running back combination that's going to really give you some problems with Nate Noel, Cameron Peoples. So, I look at this App State team. They've got a veteran offensive line. They play well on defense. They give up some big plays, and they didn't play well against Western Kentucky. But for the most part, they're very good on defense. And if you haven't seen them, Stephen Jones Jr. is probably one of those guys that's going to be a high-round pick at the cornerback position for App State. So I'm looking forward to some of those matchups that I can see in my head. App State has a new offensive coordinator, but for the most part, they're pretty consistent with who they have coming back. And I think at Kid Brewer Stadium, I got to call games there years ago when they were in FCS. That place is loud. It's only about 30. They're going to probably get about 35,000, Bill, but it's going to be rocking that first night of, you know, for them of the season, and I'm looking forward to it.
From what everybody's saying, NC State's the better team. NC State's better than North Carolina.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Everybody asks me, you know, who's a surprise team. I don't look at them as being a surprise team. I look at them as being a team that, you know, has all the tools, especially on defense. They got 10 guys coming back on defense. They're pissed off that UCLA decided to back out of the bowl game, and they were still talking about that even during when I went up there for the spring game. They're using that as a chip and a motivation. But I'll tell you, Devin Leary, quarterback, is a really good player. Throws a nice deep ball. If they can keep him upright and keep him healthy, you know, they've lost a couple of guys on the O-line. But I still think They're going to run the football effectively, and he can throw it well. Their defense is going to make plays for him. Tony Gibson has that style of defense, a 3-3 stack where they're going to come at you from all angles, and they lost two of their main linebackers last year, but by doing that, they've gained guys that played a lot more than they should have as young guys. So Peyton Wilson is back. I mean, they've got Isaiah Moore at the linebacker position, their defensive front. They think they can play about 9 guys. I'm interested to see when they play Clemson. You know, I think that's the game. I think October 1st is on their schedule. But a lot of people are talking about North Carolina State being the team that if this is a year they're going to do it, they have the best setup with the veteran quarterback and a really solid, filthy, nasty kind of defense that they're going to bring to the table.
Josh Arbuckle with us. High school ball. Buck, we've got games here Friday night. Are they also playing in North Carolina this soon?
You know, I think they are, Bill. I know there was some jamboree and some other stuff going on. I think they start, if I'm not mistaken, this week. It's starting soon, though, because I've been passing by fields, watching guys work and getting ready. So I think high school football is right here on us. And I'm here for it. If I can make a game, I will early in the year, because once the season starts, I probably won't be able to. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out watching a couple high school games, if not this weekend, next weekend for sure.
Tells Arbuckle with us. Buck, when you go back, and you played all the way up to Sunday Bowl, but when you go back to a high school game, not even your high school, does it bring back memories? Do you have flashbacks when you do this?
Yeah, it does. I go back to, you know, it's funny. I didn't play varsity until I was a junior. I mean, our team was that good. We had, you know, of course, Thurman was older than me by a couple of years, but there were a lot of guys on that team that ended up playing at the next level, you know, in college. Eric Andrus, Moses Horn. I mean, there's so many names. I don't want to leave guys out, but we had a lot of guys that could play, right? And so, when I go back and I watch high school, I just think about my very first high school game. And, you know, JV, I had a great year. But that very first night, I was like, okay, this is it. I made it to the show. What am I going to do? And I went out and had a great game. Had like 9 catches, my very first high school game. And that just kind of put me on the map, and I just kept making plays. And I think that's the part that I always look for. Who are the guys that want to get out there and just, when you get a chance, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to make the most of it? And I'm not saying every game was perfect in high school, but I can just remember consistently making plays and teams starting to know who you were and where you were. So you had to make sure, you know, you up your game every single week. And then it's also just nice to watch some of the kids that you've watched in high school then move on to become, you know, college players and even pro players. In Indianapolis, when I call high school games, Rex Grossman was one of the guys that I used to watch at Bloomington South or Bloomington North, one of those. And you could tell the kid could spin it. Went to Florida, had a really good career there, made it to the pros and played quite a few years. So it's nice to start watching where you see these guys and these, you know, dudes where you watch them from a high school perspective and you can kind of project and say, yeah, he's going to be pretty good if he doesn't have injuries or things don't get in the way. And a lot of times you can kind of tell who's standing out, even at that high school level, that may have some potential to make it to the next level.
Buck, we will see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Bill. Have a good one. Good talking to you.
Charles Arbuckle, just to remind you, you probably heard me say this, on his high school team,